Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. As children, we're brought into the Hundred Acre Wood to go on adventures with Winnie the Pooh, Rabbit, Piglet, and the other cast of characters that A.A. Milne had created for his son, Christopher Robin. But before that, Winnie the Pooh was a part of someone else's story. As World War I was getting underway, Captain Harry Colborne from Winnipeg, Canada, was on his way to training camp and happened to see a bear cub on a train platform with a trapper. By the time the train pulled away from the station, Captain Colborne was the new owner of a female cub who he affectionately named Winnie after his hometown. The cub became the mascot for the brigade and made the trip overseas to England, where the soldiers continued to train for deployment to the front lines. Before they left for France, Winnie was safely left at the London Zoo, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, Winnie's origin story has been put to paper in the form of a beautiful children's book by Captain Colborne's great-granddaughter, Lindsay Maddock.
It is a story that I've really been sharing with people my whole life, you can imagine. And the idea to write it as a children's picture book really kind of came to me about 10 years ago. And I'd had this idea that, you know, at some point I would have my own child and I would need to share them this amazing kind of family gem. And really got, as life does, it kind of gets in the way. It got parked for about a decade. And then I found out I was pregnant. And that kind of gave me the sense of urgency that I needed to ensure it didn't take another decade.
So how old were you when you heard the story of your great-grandfather buying this little beer cub?
I was about 8 or 9 years old, but then when the story kind of took on even more importance and significance when I was about 12, and my grandfather, Fred, who was Harry's son, basically there had been a news story out about the origins of Winnie that were incorrect, factually incorrect, and attributed Winnie's origins to another city in Canada. And my grandfather said, wait a minute, no, this was my dad's bear. There was a certain humility about the story, but he said, this is my dad's bear, and this is a Winnipeg story. So at that point, he really sort of set about pulling up his dad's diaries from the war years and really going about documenting this kind of amazing connection to the story. So when I was about 12 years old, there was a statue that was that myself and my six cousins unveiled in Winnipeg, and all of a sudden it really became an international news story that, you know, in fact, Winnie the Pooh had a real bear behind behind the fictional bear.
Now, I love that you say that your father said, wait, this is my dad's bear.
Exactly. That was always, you know, I loved when I was a kid, people would sort of, I would sort of refer to Winnie as my great-grandbear. And, you know, I would kind of, my friends would sort of say, like, you have to tell the story, you have to tell the Winnie story. You're related to Winnie the Pooh. And it always made me laugh that it was literally my great-grandfather's pet.
Does it sadden you to know that a lot of people don't know the history behind Winnie, that everything that came before A.A. Milne made him famous with his son?
It never makes me sad. To be honest, it's so amazing when a fictional story that is so loved has an equally beautiful and real true story behind it. And I love watching people when they learn that that Winnie the Pooh actually was inspired by a real bear. I kind of love that reaction. Like, really? She was a real bear? And this, I love seeing that reaction. So I just think it's sort of, it's a gift when I get to share this story, and a bigger gift that now the book allows me to make sure that more people understand the real history.
It's funny to me that anybody above your great-grandfather who paid $20 for Winnie to make sure that she would survive would say, oh yes, of course that bear cub can come on the train and train with us as the 2nd Canadian Infantry Brigade.
Yes, I know that some of the things I've always found the most fascinating about the story are those practical considerations. Like, okay, he's going off to war, he's on a train, he gets out, he buys this bear cub, gets back on, then he has to travel with her and take her on a ship across the Atlantic, and then she's at the army camps, and all those kind of practical questions of what does one feed a bear, and where does she sleep, and, you know, it's a wild animal. Anyone who's ever seen a bear cub knows that it's a wild animal. So I always think it's really kind of an interesting testament to my great-grandfather that he obviously had a way with animals, and that she was, it's well documented that she was a very, very well-trained, friendly bear. She was the only bear that the London Zoo said that they trusted entirely with children. Children would literally go into her enclosure and ride on her back. So she had that nature, and also he trained her very well. And I think some of those questions, though, are really interesting to think about.
You said your great-grandfather, Harry Colburn, had a way with animals, and he was a veterinarian, so he was no stranger to the needs of animals and knowing that Winnie was a wild animal, but yet he was able to cultivate that relationship with her.
Absolutely. He was a veterinarian, so he studied veterinary medicine in Canada, and then when the First World War broke out, he had enlisted with the cavalry units to look after the horses in the war. He grew up with animals. His father was a groomsman, so he grew up around horses. And so I think that, he loved animals, and it was a huge, I think probably a source of love, a source of joy. He was very young, heading off to war, no one had any idea that the First World War would last as long and be as brutal as it was. And I think that probably there was a little bit of a sense of optimism when he bought her, and he probably thought no more than, you know what, this will be a mascot for my regiment. It will be something that will make my fellow soldiers smile and laugh. And it was probably pretty simple in its intentions.
You have included in this book original pictures of Winnie with your great-grandfather and the entire brigade, as well as his journal entries. That's amazing that they were handed down from generation to generation to make sure that you had all of this information about his relationship with Winnie and World War One.
Yes, I'll never forget that one of the sort of amazing moments along this way was when I first had that opportunity to actually hold my great-grandfather's diaries. And, you know, they're very small, leather-bound diaries, but there's a weight to them when you hold them, and you think it's very rare that in history we kind of where a moment in time is captured. And so, you know, if I flipped the page, August 24th, 1914, bought bear, $20. So these diaries are very sparse in their entries. There's not a lot of words, but they capture these moments that, you know, at the time he had no idea would go on to have a huge historical significance. So it's been a gift that those photographs and some of those and the diaries are available 100 years later to really document that story and make it feel as real as it is.
And you have done an amazing job making this real for the reader. I'm turning the pages and tears are coming to my eyes as Winnie and your great-grandfather are parting ways when she's being left at the zoo. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't imagine something that has been with you through so much. And knowing that you have to leave her so that she can be safe as you put your life in peril.
Absolutely. I think especially at a time when all of these soldiers, again, at the point that he brought Winnie to the London Zoo, they had been in Salisbury Plain for about 4 months. The weather in Salisbury Plain that fall was particularly bad. It rained. They were all away from their families. And probably the realities of the war were setting in. They would be shipping out to France. And I think that, you know, Winnie would have been this source of joy for not only my great-grandfather, but the fellow soldiers that were there. And I think it must have been a very emotional journey. I know that his intentions were to bring her back after the war. Whenever he had to leave, he would go to London and visit her at the zoo. And there was a photo on the back of one of the photographs he had written that he'd sent home to Winnipeg. He'd said, you know, kind regards to all, love, Harry. Winnie will be coming home with me one day. So it was his intentions to bring her home. But I think at the end of the war, he realized that obviously she had made a new home.
That just breaks my heart. It's, I want to say, the greater good to the rest of the world, because we've gotten adventures about Winnie later on with her relationship with Christopher Robin, but I can't imagine what it was like for your great-grandfather to realize, I can't take her with me.
Yeah, and it's interesting because now, you know, if you were to leave her now, with social media and Skype and Snapchat and everything, probably he could have stayed in touch, and even commercial airlines being available in a different way than they would have been 100 years ago. But at that time, I think he probably, in saying goodbye to Winnie, he had to realize that he was definitely closing one chapter of his life.
Now, this book, the story is beautifully written. You've done an amazing job, but we have Sophie Blackall's illustrations to go with it, and the way she draws Winnie, she's just so huggable, and she captures your family as well as the relationship between Winnie and the 2nd Canadian Infantry Brigade just beautifully.
Sophie, I am so grateful for Sophie's illustrations. She has brought this story, my family story, to life in a way that has honestly gone well beyond my expectations. She, I think, did an incredible job, not only bringing so many emotions and warmth into the story. She captured, with Winnie, there's sort of a mischievous glint in her eye, an element of curiosity. Like, she was able to capture bring so much warmth and depth and emotion to the story. But at the same time, it was, because this is obviously a piece of nonfiction, it needed to be accurate. And Sophie took great care she went to the London Zoo. She spent time in the archives. She looked at the enclosures of where all the animals actually were 100 years ago, so that when she did an aerial image in the book of the animals, they were in the right places as they would have been in 1914. She researched signal flags. So if you look at the page that has where they're crossing the Atlantic and there's a ship and there's signal flags, and there's actually an encoded message that she did in the signal flag. So she really put her heart into this project, and I'm so grateful that we found her.
It is a beautiful book. The name of it is Finding Winnie, the True Story of the World's Most Famous Bear. It is illustrated by Sophie Blackall and written by Lindsay Maddock. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, the name of Lindsay Maddock's picture book is Finding Winnie, the True Story of the World's Most Famous Bear. It is illustrated by Sophie Blackall and published by Little Brown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.